The Huskers got off to another slow start this past Saturday against Wisconsin, and the Badgers proved to be too much, winning 41-24. There were signs of hope, though, after the game, even though Nebraska's now tied a program-worst 0-5 start. We'll recap that Wisconsin game and look at the optimistic things Coach Frost sees in his team with our special guest, former Husker Jason Peter. Sean Callahan will also help us break down the latest in Big Red recruiting. It's all coming up next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin Kugler, and welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Another week, and unfortunately, another Husker loss to be talking about, this time a trip up to Wisconsin, where they fell short against the Wisconsin Badgers, despite another impressive offensive performance. With that in mind, just how close is this team to having that breakout moment? We're going to talk about that and a variety of other things, and here to help us do that, former Husker Jay Moore and Sean Callahan here as well. So, instead of dwelling on the problems that we all have seen, and I don't have to tell you, this team has penalty issues. This team has, as Scott Frost has said at times, some stuff that has happened in the locker room, although that seems to be, in his mind, getting over that by this point. Let's talk about when that breakout moment comes. Do you feel like, Jay, it's closer for this team to get over the hump and taste that first victory?
Oh, without a doubt. I saw a lot of good football Saturday up in Madison. I saw an offense that got the ball moving against a very good Wisconsin defense. I know the defense did struggle stopping the run, but that's going to be the best O-line they face all year. I mean, how big and athletic that Wisconsin group is, you're not going to see much better. But they did some good things, you know, at least cause a turnover. But they're building, getting some young guys some more reps who can step in and provide some depth. Yes, there's some talent issues. Yes, there's some depth issues. But I do feel like they're close, even though these scores have indicated it here lately.
The thing that I think should encourage people, it's hard to find encouragement. I get that in an 0-5 season. The thing I think that should encourage some people is skill position players continue to flash for this team. J.D. Spielman is having a fantastic year, even though everybody knows J.D. Spielman's going to be involved. Martinez looks better every week. Yes, he's going to make some freshman mistakes, but he's a dynamic talent. And I think we saw what this coaching staff, Sean, and what recruiting folks liked about Maurice Washington this past week. He got healthy, had been a little sick over the last couple of weeks, kind of dinged up. And while I don't think we've seen anything close to what he can be, you really saw this young man flash on Saturday night. It could have been even better if there hadn't been a penalty that took away his biggest play, that pass down the far sideline.
Yeah, Javon DeWitt today was talking about just what he brought as a kick return. He goes, when he has the ball in his hands, he's just different than the other guys on our team right now. And yeah, when you start to look at this, I think Saturday night gave us a big picture feel of what this could be, how maybe Scott Frost plans to attack the Paul Chryst and the Kirk Ferentz's in the Big Ten West, what his offense can do to them. The problem is, you know, and when you're rebuilding, you can't rebuild offensive lines and you can't rebuild defensive lines in 6 months. Those take 3, 4, 5 years to build. You can get a quarterback and playing right away. You can get receivers and running backs, but O-lines and D-lines in this conference particularly take 3, 4, 5 years to build, and that's going to be the hardest part to me of this process.
Well, lots of things to get to tonight. We need your help to keep our conversation going. With us tonight in the call center, the guys of Phi Kappa Theta. They're here to take your questions and comments. They're enjoying some Valentino's pizza while they wait, so let's get them going and get them busy tonight running the call center. Our NET Sports intern, Hannah. You can also text or email us those comments or questions at bigred@netnebraska.org. We're also all over our social media accounts. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter to join in the conversation with us. Here are the results of last week's sideline surveys. Nebraska football better or worse than last year? 58% of you think it's better despite the record. 25% of you want to wait till the end of the year. And 17% say the team is worse than last year's 4-8 outfit. Here's this week's all-new sideline survey. Does this 2018 team become the first at Nebraska to start 0-6? 73% of you say no. You're optimistic about the trip to Northwestern this weekend. Head to our website now to cast your vote. So let's stay on this optimistic tone, because when you watch Maurice Washington run, he glides. He's a gliding runner, which I think is a sign of a very athletic guy. He looks like an Oregon running back, which is a compliment, because that's what you want in this offense, somebody who can do that. But as Sean mentioned, Jay, it's the lines that Nebraska really has to focus on. And we talked with Scott Frost before our broadcast on BTN this weekend, and he mentioned to us at the time, we talked about in the broadcast, that one thing they're looking at is moving Cam Jurgens from tight end to center going into next season, to shore up that offensive line, maybe take a guy to position that isn't going to see as much action in this offense and put him in a position where he could excel on the offensive line. That's not a bad idea, is it, to look at guys on the roster currently and see if maybe they're better suited in this offense or defense in a different spot?
Oh, 100%. This has been going on for a long time. I look at a former teammate of mine in San Francisco, Joe Staley, went to Central Michigan as a tight end, becomes an all-pro, potential Hall of Famer in San Francisco, still playing. You go down the road of guys, great football players, they've always done that. They look at linebackers that become defensive ends, safeties that become linebackers. You get the athletic ability. You just got to pack on 20, 30, 40 pounds on some of these guys, and you can do that. I like the idea, but it's also alarming to me that shows you that they have to do this too, that previous staff, their misses in recruiting. And you would know that better than me, but this shows you that they're willing to do whatever it has to take to try to get this thing turned around, get the necessary guys in here so they can plug those holes, bridge the gap, get on recruiting, let those guys develop. But I love the idea, and I love that Cam Jurgens is open to that idea, because a lot of guys might not want to do that, but he's kind of swallowing his pride here and willing to do whatever he can to help the team.
Yeah, this is an old school type of move by Scott Frost. It's what Milt Tenneper and Tom Osborne used to do for years. I can remember the late Milt Tenneper told me, heck, I would go to basketball games and track meets, and I remember watching Loren Kaiser. He was a big 240-pound point guard, and I go, this guy is going to be a lineman at Nebraska. And they would find these 240, 230-pound Matt Hoskinsons, guys that were undersized but maybe had the footwork, the athletic ability, and then groom them into guys that, because there's very few kids that are 300 pounds and carry it the right way in high school. There's very few human beings that can carry 300 pounds the right way. So you want a guy like a Jurgens who's got a flat stomach, he's athletic, he's a multi-sport athlete, and you can really build him up. I love this idea, and I have no doubt you're going to see him as a guard or a center on the field at Nebraska sooner rather than later.
Well, and you see some of this even reflected currently in the depth chart. A guy like Hickson, the young man from Scott, who is now on the two deep for Nebraska as a walk-on, that's a guy that I think you're going to see factor in this line over the next several years. It's not uncommon at Nebraska to have somebody come in-state, red shirt, work in the program, get the nutrition, get the strength training. And that's one of the reasons Scott Frost has this long runway, Jay, to get this program fixed, is because, as Sean said, it's going to take 2 to 3 years mm-hmm. with some of these guys in the system, whether they be walk-ons or scholarships, to develop into what they need on the lines.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's the biggest key, is taking those, like we said, the guys that need 2 or 3 years. But unfortunately, I don't know if Nebraska, talent-wise, can afford to wait 2 or 3 years. I know it's going to take the time, but a guy like that, I mean, he's a walk-on redshirt freshman potentially next year, could be starting for Nebraska, and that's huge. But it's going to take that time to build, and just to have those guys understand to know that it's going to take time to develop. It's not going to be 6 months. Getting those guys to understand, it might take 2 or 3 years for you to get to where you need to be. And have everyone else understand that's the process going across, going forward.
And this is what's different about this staff compared to previous staffs. Bill Callahan, Bo Pelini, Mike Riley, they kind of had a gun to their head. They couldn't tell Nebraskans, we need 3 or 4 years. Scott Frost is in a unique position right now. I think everyone's watching what we're watching right now. And I think people are okay that they know this Scott Frost can coach. They know he can develop. They know he understands what this place is all about. I think people have trust and belief that he has an idea in place that's going to work, and people here are going to give him the time that maybe a Bo or a Riley or even a Callahan, they couldn't go out and say, we're going to recruit 230-pound guys and develop them for 3 years. I don't think fans trusted that, and I think now they do trust it.
It does always make me chuckle, because I'll go places, and I know you guys travel a lot as well, and people come up to you and they find out you're from Nebraska, you're a graduate of the university or anything, and they say, oh boy, Husker fans already turned on Scott Frost, huh? And I always have to say, no, not at all. They're just fans, I think, are at their wits' end with where the program's been for 2 decades, Jay, mm-hmm. and they know Scott's the best hope they have to get a program back to any semblance of normalcy for what they consider normal around here.
Yeah, I was just down in the Ozarks, for about 3 or 4 days around, Kansas guys and Missouri and Iowa guys, and they're, giving me a hard time as well, and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, it's going all right, yeah. Get your shots in now. Get your shots in now, because in a year or two, we're going to be getting our shots in. So, no, it is. I mean, it's patience. You got the right guy, and Sean nailed on the head. Those guys never felt like the previous coaches that they had 5, 6, 7 years. They had to win yesterday. So they had to take bigger chances on kids and, think they can maybe come in right away and play. But it's I'm patient. I know everyone else is patient. Everyone I talk to is patient. No one, I mean, we're watching the game, and you just, you know, that game was not winnable for Nebraska on Saturday, but you look at the positives and you see, okay, what can you take out of it? You see, okay, we see Martinez and Washington. You see the guys defensively, the young guys subbing a play, and you get excited about that. And there's plenty of things going on in this program right now that you can build on for next year and 2 and 3 years down the road. And that's a good feeling for Nebraska fans right now.
Now, one thing that, of course, came up this past week that got everybody a little riled up was in-season attrition that we've seen from Nebraska. Two more players leave the program in the midst of last week. Tyjon Lindsey, wide receiver, Greg Bell, running back, who Nebraska brought in this year under this staff because they needed somebody to be a running back for this program that they thought might fit the spot. Tyjon Lindsey, just a disappointment all the way around from Nebraska fans from a recruiting standpoint. Remember, he was at an Ohio State commit and then decommitted, came to Nebraska. Never really seemed to show much, Sean, when he was here.
You know, he injured his knee his senior year of high school, and before that, he was electric. He was outstanding. I mean, he was running on air when you watched him play football. I never saw that Tyjon Lindsey in Lincoln, Nebraska. And his weight was up to 200 pounds. I always thought that was kind of heavy for the kind of player that he was supposed to be at 5'9". I always thought he was more like a 180, 185 type player. And he just never had that same burst and just never seemed like he was having fun. And that, you know, that was the disappointing thing. You want to see a guy come in, have fun. He just had the pressure on him of whatever and, you know, decided that he wanted to go somewhere else. And Oregon State, he'll go up there with Tristan Jebbia, Avery Roberts, Mike Riley, Trent Bray, and a number of guys that he worked with here at Nebraska.
I thought it was interesting, Jay, that one of the places that they said you can't go, Greg Bell, is Oregon State. I guess they've had enough of supplying Oregon State with players.
Yeah, it was surprising to see, you know, how that all breaks down. It's always interesting, the transfer rules. But yeah, I mean, they're probably just thinking, no more, no Moss.
Yeah.
No more
South Dakota State, State was probably like, hey, we're on that list. They really are worried about us.
South Alabama, you know. Yep. But no, interesting. You know, but like I said, we got to, you know, some of these kids, they got to understand when they come in, things aren't just to be given to you just because you're a good JUCO or a high school player. You got to work for it. It's a process. You got to learn to practice the right way. And approach it the right every day. And if you want things given to you, this isn't the place to go.
Well, it's got to be, as a former player, it's not like everything was wine and roses for you in your playing career. It's got to be a little weird for you when you see guys who have been in a place all of four games. They come into Lincoln, they go through spring, they're here for four games, they lose their starting job to a guy who rushes for 170 yards in a conference game, and they're like, well, that's it, we're done, see you later. That's got to be strange for you.
Well, it's super strange, but it tells me that we don't need these guys in our program. And he's not fit for what we're trying to build here under Scott Frost. I look back at my time. I mean, I came in, I was nowhere near close enough to play as a freshman, even a redshirt freshman. I never played defensive end. I was a stand-up outside linebacker and running back in high school. I needed 2 years to fully develop, two spring balls. And I finally played my sophomore year. I needed that time. And not once did I panic, because I was getting my head kicked in for two straight years. And I knew I wasn't ready to go out there and play in Big 12 football. But you just, and all of a sudden one day it clicks as a player. And once you stick to that process, you don't get frustrated, and you show up, do what you're told. Those little things that we've talked about so much previously before, and all of a sudden that day it clicks. It's like, oh man, I got that read. I understand this. This pass rush move is down. It just happens. You just got to be patient and stick with the process, and things will work out.
Well, let's take a look at the highlights from this past week in Madison, where the Huskers fell short, of course, to the Wisconsin Badgers. As Jay mentioned, this was a game that Scott knew was going to be a tough game going in. But Nebraska had some good things, but they also had this guy to try to stop, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, patient, attacks, strong offensive line in front, 15 yards to the Nebraska 15-yard line. But Nebraska's defense, they played well early in this game. A little pressure late on Alex Hornibrook. He threw it away. And so that ends a 15-play, 63-yard drive with a little bit of a black shirt win, forcing the field goal from Rafael Gaglianone, 3-0 lead for Wisconsin. Badgers get it back in the second quarter, going to work on third down and 5. Third down stops. That's going to be something Eric Shenander is going to look at in the offseason and go, boy, I wish that were better, because it hasn't been this year. That's another big third down conversion. Jonathan Taylor, though, stoned by Luke Gifford on 2nd and 7 at the 9-yard line. Nowhere to go. They don't get another yard. And on comes the field goal unit again, and it's 6-0 Wisconsin. Big turning point in this game for Nebraska on this drive coming up. So you got 2nd and 1 at the Wisconsin 47-yard line. Nice little spin there and some good work to get the first down. For the Huskers, again, one more look at Maurice Washington, who just does a lot of Maurice Washington things in this game. 10-yard pickup to the 37-yard line. This was a big play on 3rd and 16. Adrian Martinez finds Stanley Morgan all the way down to the 18-yard line. The drive bogs here, and they have to kick a field goal. If they score a touchdown on that drive, I'm not saying they win the game, but there's a different feel to the game.
It puts a different pressure on Wisconsin at that point.
But then the Badgers, like they did last year against Nebraska when things got tight, Badgers just come out with the experience, a program that has been around for a while. A.J. Taylor making some big plays this year. Another one down to the 38-yard line of Nebraska. A few plays later, here comes Jonathan Taylor into the end zone from 3 yards out, 13-3. Check the replay. Did he get in? They initially ruled no, but yes, he's in. 13-3. Badgers with the lead. Still in the second quarter. Huskers trying to come back. Stanley Morgan, a little hippity hop on the sideline. 12-yard play there to the Nebraska 37-yard line. Third down and 27. Nebraska going to the air once more, going to Stanley Morgan once more. Morgan's short of the first down. Nebraska decides to go for it on 4th and 11. Did you like the call?
It was risky, but I get the decision. I mean, he's trying to win the game, and they were kind of in no man's land, and their punter's been struggling. They pulled him after that. So, I mean, I don't think they had a lot of confidence in Lightbourne pinning in Wisconsin, so they said, why not? If we're going to win on the road, we got to do it here.
Garrett Groshek gets extra yardage after Antonio Reed thought he knocked him down, started dancing a little bit.
It was ridiculous.
And I knew Jay Moore would not like that, and it ends up in a Wisconsin touchdown. Halftime score 20-3. Huskers come out in the third quarter. They'll get it going again. J.D. Spielman. They kind of abused Scott Nelson all night long, and then he was ejected for targeting later on. Spielman, 75 yards. Huskers getting going, down 20-10. But again, here come the Badgers grinding it out. Remember last year where they ran 28 out of 30 final plays on those last three drives? Started churning that ground game once more. This caps a 7-play, 71-yard drive. Good blocking. Easy touchdown
for
Jonathan.
They know who they are. I mean, yeah. They just embrace it, and they do it better than anybody.
We said it during the broadcast early. Wisconsin does Wisconsin things, and that's what they do time and time again. You know what they're going to do. They come out and do it, and it's up to the opponent to try to stop it. But they do a lot of things like Nebraska used to do. Pound on you and wear you down. Taiwan Deal, 34-10. Wisconsin with the lead at this point. You like the fight of the Huskers. You like the fight of the young quarterback, Adrian Martinez. You love the play of J.D. Spielman, who continues to shine. This is 38 yards down to the Wisconsin 23-yard line. A couple of plays later, Adrian Martinez again, using his feet to get a little extra time and a little more time, then showing off that strong arm and an excellent catch. Jack Stoll just took it away, just ripped it right out of the air. That's a touchdown, 34-17. Wisconsin's lead is 17. Fourth quarter, here they go again. There's that man again. Jonathan Taylor, oh my, that's an 88-yard touchdown run. That's
before
what Jonathan
that run,
Taylor does.
I said, you know, he's having kind of, he hasn't had that big run, and then boom, they wear you down, and then they break out like that.
And he just goes 88 in one play. And, I mean, look, we've seen this for years around here. That's how Nebraska did it for a lot of years. Wear on you, wear on you, wear you on, and you pop the big play. Wisconsin's done that for a lot of years. Barry Alvarez took the formula and took it to Wisconsin. Adrian Martinez, 28 yards on that scramble. First down and 10. Adrian Martinez, 30 yards. J.D. Spielman, again, single game record for Spielman, breaking his own record in this game. And then on first and goal, Martinez, play. Got to the edge, 7-play, 95-yard drive, 41-24. Huskers trying to hang around, but again, Wisconsin. 12-yard run there, a little extra turnover for Nebraska to get one more shot. Adrian Martinez, 4th and 10 at the 32, and that's incomplete, and the game is over. And Paul Christ's squad brings home the Freedom Trophy. 90% of you are saying the what? 41-24, Wisconsin with the victory over Nebraska.
They have that trophy bolted down in Madison because it hasn't had a leap in a long time.
It's lived there ever since the trophy showed up. Penalties, again, a problem for the Huskers, Sean. Yardage is great at 518, but those penalty yards, 10 penalties for 100 yards. Nebraska last in the nation in penalty yards per game.
Just 10 tailback carries as well on Saturday for Nebraska. But, yeah, the penalties continue to be an issue. You saw the offensive line, I think, pick up 7 or 8 of the 10. So just not a day that those guys want to remember, as they've got to get the penalties cleaned up.
Well, it's time to take a closer look at this game. Jay Moore is in the huddle.
All right. focus on defense again. Defensive line, I know you're probably thinking shocker, Jay's talking about defensive line again, but I'm a defensive lineman, so we're going to look at this again. Nebraska up and down all day defensively, but I'm tired of breaking down some negative plays. Let's focus on some positive plays here. I'm going to focus on Carlos Davis. He's in a little three-technique situation. I've talked about this before. Understanding football IQ, trusting your eyes in this situation. Third and long, as a defensive lineman, you understand draw screen alert in this situation. So play a snap. He gets a little short set from the guard, but sees as a pass, reacts, tries to convert to pass rush, but feels right here the guard club him by. You work this drill a lot every day in practice, the screen drill. Once you feel that club to go by, you automatically got to retrace your steps. Does a good job, eye discipline, feels the running back cross his vision, gets a little grab on him to slow him down, and he chases him down. Big boy hustles down the line. That's a hell of a play. Should have been a TFL, gets him for about a one-yard gain. Nebraska gets off the field for once on 3rd and 10. That's a hell of a play by Carlos Davis.
Well, and that's one of the things that Nebraska is going to continue to try to improve on, because third downs have been a problem for the Husker defense. They've gotten opposing offenses in third and long with a pretty regular basis, but they've not been able to get off the field the way they need to on those third and longs.
Yeah, it's been a struggle from all year, but again, it's doing the right things, doing the necessary things. It's not committing penalties, but just trusting your keys, getting smarter, the football IQ, just getting more comfortable in this defense. They struggled against the run. They did. I could have broke down 5 or 6 runs from linebacker play, defensive line play. We all saw that, but there's enough positive here. We've been talking about the things we've seen. You think this thing can get turned around. That's a play, man. I mean, it's late in the game. They're tired. They've been on the field a lot. And he played that perfectly. I mean, a coach could use that for years on how to play a screen pass as a three technique against a guard. And that's great to see. And I'm finally seeing, glad we can break down some good play from that D-line.
Well, up next on the wrap-up, time to add another black shirt to the mix. We got Jay Moore. Get former Husker Jason Peter on the set to discuss this Nebraska team. We'll get his thoughts. But first, check out the images from Saturday's game, courtesy of Hail Varsity. Stay with us. We're back soon. Welcome back to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Kevin Kugler. That is our NET Sports intern, Hannah, who has joined me here to talk about things going on in the world of social media. Are people angry? Are they happy? Are they sad? What are you seeing? What's the general mood before we get into what we've actually seen?
You know, we've got a fair mix this weekend. We got a lot of optimism, but we also have a lot of negativity still coming in.
Negativity on social media? No.
I know. Crazy,
it's
right?
It's rare, but it does happen. What are you crazy. Seeing?
So first, we have a tweet from Nick Donahue, or The Don.
What is The Don?
And it says, Nebraska's new state flag with the penalty flag, which is understandable since we lost 100 yards in penalties this weekend. So people on social media are definitely concerned about all those penalties.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah. Second is a Facebook comment from John Audi, commenting on how we were going to break down the game today. And he said, we don't need to break it down. It's already broken. Well, I got to say is to John is...
Well, he's not watching, so...
Right. Well, but if he was, maybe just, like, have a little faith, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, John.
Our last tweet is from offensive lineman Brendan James.
Hymus. Yep.
I love this team. I'm proud to wear the N on my helmet. We aren't going to give up. And that kind of reflects the mood of a lot of Husker fans out there.
Yeah, I would say it certainly does. Certainly good to hear that from the guys on the team. Thank you, Hannah. We have a winner in our game day photo contest. This week our winner comes from Facebook. Neil Kohler dropped us this photo of his setup on Saturday, one for the Nebraska-Wisconsin game, another tuned in to NET for Minnesota-Nebraska volleyball. It didn't turn out well for either team, but hope you had a good time watching both of those games, Neil. Neil won the hashtag Big Red Wrap-Up t-shirt, coffee tumbler, as well as a DVD copy of the NET program, Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. Be sure to send us your best game day photo each Saturday for your chance to win these great prizes. And now I've moved, because we're pleased to be joined, as always, by former Husker Jason Peter, who's with us on the set.
These lights get brighter?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I mean,
just for you.
I forgot to bring my makeup pad. Do I have a bad shine?
No, right, you look
all right.
You look relaxed. You look good. The season's not stressing you out, which surprises me. I figured, you know, an 0-5 start and you'd be on pins and needles.
No, because I know what's coming. That's the only thing that's kind of saving this season, because there's a lot of bad football, a lot of undisciplined football. And I think it's, you know, if Scott was sitting here, he'd tell you, he has said, you know, that this is not, I think, what he expects out of his team. I think the penalty phase of it has been pretty disappointing and frustrating for him. But, look, you're seeing with, you know, a couple guys transferring that it's a sign that not everybody maybe is on board. And, you know, we had kind of heard that there were a few guys, and it's fine. You know, I'll hold the door open for you as you leave. I mean, just don't look back, you know. But I'm excited. I mean, you see that quarterback. I mean, that's reason alone to be excited for Nebraska football, because that dude's 18 years old and he's given some of these defenses and defensive coordinators fits. Wait till he gets a grasp of this offense. I mean, this kid hadn't played a game in 2 years. And I think everybody was kind of expecting, oh, he'll be able to run, you know, and certainly he's got a gear that I can guarantee you Tristan Gebbia doesn't have that gear. Right. You know, I don't know if there's he's in the 0.01% of college football quarterbacks that have a gear like that. So that's exciting because we have that guy. And it's very much college football like the NFL, I think, where it's quarterback driven now. You got to have a guy that can play football underneath center, and we should feel good because we got one of the better ones.
Scott has said over the last week that he's felt like there was a corner that started to be turned, about 80% buy-in at this point as these guys continue to understand what they want. You're going from a program that, let's be honest, wasn't particularly detail-oriented to a head coach that is, to the opposite end of that spectrum, is very detail-oriented, knows exactly what he wants, and knows exactly how he's going to get it done. You were in a program that had been established for 25 years by one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game in Tom Osborne. How difficult is it for a coach like Scott, who went through so many good systems that were already set up, to have to deal with kids who aren't buying into what he's selling right now?
Yeah, it's got to be so difficult for him, and times where he just wants to pull his hair out, because that was something that as players we just walked into. It was something that Coach Osborne and Coach McBride and all of the coaching staff, they didn't have to deal with, because you learned the locker room, you learned the culture from the other players, and you either adapted to the situation or you were going to be looking for a new place to play. It was a different sort of, not just football program, but fan base. You know, like, it was funny. I was reading some of the stuff, after Lindsey had said he was leaving, and there are some people that were, like, you know, tweeting back at him, oh, you're, you know, our favorite, you're my son's favorite football player. And I'm like, why? The kid hadn't done anything yet. Is that based off of recruiting rankings? I mean, what is it? Because you had to earn everything that you got. Right. You know, if you wanted, you know, a bunch of second graders to be your biggest fan, then you better go out there on Saturday and you better do it. It has nothing to do with what you did in high school. And so it's a different world now where, you know, that these kids, they kind of, unfortunately, they get put up on a pedestal from day one. And it's something that coaches obviously have to deal with, and you hope that you have a strong locker room environment and, you know, culture, the word that's been thrown around a ton over the last few weeks. But it is a huge glaring problem. And obviously with the kids leaving, you can, that's a sign that it's still working itself out.
I think Scott, and I'll say it probably a little nicer than Scott, that basically you have to throw up some of these guys out of the program to get rid of them from this program. It's, I guess, like having a surgery to remove something that's not supposed to be in your body, isn't it? I mean, you got to get rid of some of these things that are cancerous to that locker room.
I made the analogy that, you know, a machine runs a lot better when you have all working parts. When you have bad parts in that machine, it's not going to run the way that it was when you drove it off the lot. Or do you know what I mean? And there are good parts in this machine. You know, I mean, Muhammad Barry, I'd play any day of the week with that dude, because you know what? He just has one speed and it's full speed. And unfortunately, you need 150 or however many guys they got, but 100 plus guys with that same mentality. And that's, I mean, when people are always kind of drawing the comparisons, and obviously with Scott being part of the teams in the 90s, that was the tempo. It was full speed, unless a coach told you otherwise. And even at that, you still had to be talked down, you know, a few times. Coach McBride had to yell at us, you know, a few times, because you didn't know any better. You didn't know anything other than everything that you've got in the tank on every single play that you ran.
Jason, you've known Scott, obviously, for a long time, and what he's going through this season, he's probably never gone through anything like this in his life. How do you think he's handling this, and how hard is this for him to be sitting here at 0-5?
I'm sure it's tough. I mean, I know it's tough for him. I've talked to him several times, and it's frustrating. He wants nothing more than to let these kids start to experience, you know, or give them a reason as to why this is why we're doing X, Y, and Z during the week in practice. This is why, you know, I'm constantly pounding home, you know, the little things during the week in practice, so that come Saturday, you know, you end up playing well and victorious. And obviously he can't stand up there and say, "See, I told you, but it's coming." You know, I'm not going to sit here and you know, because Scott's already said, you know, he feels like they've started to turn. You know, hopefully they have. I don't know yet. But this was never going to be a, you know, 3-month sort of deal where this thing was up and running at, you know, 85-95% speed as to what, you know, Scott envisioned the thing. I mean, I think the kids, strength and conditioning wise, and Zach has done a tremendous job, but they need at least 2 full years in the weight room to even be in the ballpark with, say, like a Wisconsin. You know, it's just, they're not there yet. We don't have those sort of guys. And when you combine that with average to below average technique, that's a hard thing to overcome. I don't care what scheme you're running. It's hard to overcome those sort of deficiencies.
Adam says, "Can you please ask this question to Jason on tonight's Big Red Wrap-Up Show?" Yes, we can. "Did you ever think, even in your wildest dreams, Nebraska would have one of the nation's longest losing streaks? And if they lose to Northwestern, it'd be 0-6.
No, I didn't. And, you know, we've all heard, well, if they played the first game, you know, maybe. Well, they didn't play the first game, unfortunately. And, you know, here we are. We're sitting at 0-5. And they just got to keep, you know, I kind of keep touch with a few of the guys down there as far as players. I wouldn't go far as to say mentor, but, you know, just kind of, you know, just this is kind of the way, you know, sort of deal. And I know that those guys, they're grinding, you know, they're doing everything that they can. But every Monday when I kind of touch base, it's like, you got to do more. Because what you did this last week, you may think that you're doing everything that you have, but you got to do more. Somehow or another, you got to find more. You got to force this guy to do more, that guy to do more, that guy to do more. I mean, that's your job as sort of being a leader. And that's something as well. You know, there's still, I think it, you know, you lose Big Mick in the middle. That was huge because he's, you know, a guy who obviously eats up space, but he's also a captain. And, you know, it's different when you're a captain and you're playing as to when you're, you know, a captain and not. I mean, even when you're a guy who's, say, a starter, you know, your voice seems to get a little bit smaller if you're not out there taking reps with all the other guys.
Jason says, not you, but another Jason. What improvement or bright spots have you seen on this year's defense? You mentioned Mo Berry. What else stands out?
Yeah, I just think that I think in years past, you would have seen, not that it's all perfect by any means, but I think there's been times where it seemed like they kind of threw in the towel and maybe the effort once they knew that the game was kind of getting out of hand. And I really haven't seen that. There have been individual cases, I think, where you could turn on the film and be like, look at that guy. You know, he's not, even though, you know, the receiver's running into the end zone and he's at the 20 and you're, you know, 15 yards behind, you still are expected to run the fastest 20 yards that you've run, you know, in your life. And so there's always going to be cases of, you know, guys not doing their job or the way that you expect them to do it. But, you know, obviously JD has been, you know, really good to see him kind of getting in that groove on the defensive side. You know, it's Coach Shenander has a taller task, I believe. And
taller than we thought, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, this is part of it, too. I think this is what happens. Scott takes the job in December, January, whatever. And everybody, we're kind of looking at this whole picture, and it's like, it's going to be a rough year. Do you know? That's just the reality. Maybe if they could win 5 or 6 games, I think people were talking about, well, you know, then all of a sudden somebody, and I don't know who, I'm just saying, media.
Let's call him Sean Kelly.
For this example, yeah, say it's Sean. Okay? Sean writes an article that says,
they're going to win the West.
No, we're not even there yet, okay? But look at the receivers that Nebraska has. That's one of the best receiving groups in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And now, you know, combine that with some of the examples that Zach Duvall has given to, you know, the fan base with, you know, seeing guys, some of their gains that they've made in the weight room. Well, you know what? Now that offensive line, they're actually not as bad as we thought. And they're kind of, you know, I think if they could keep them all healthy, that we've got a pretty good base there on the offensive line. Whereas the offensive line going into this thing was the weak link, right? That was the area that was absolutely going to kill us.
And then Sean wrote this article.
And Sean writes this article, right? I'm at home. My wife's got to, you know, basically keep me from going hunting them down.
Right.
Right. But now all of a sudden winning 5 and 6 games turns into now 8 and 9.
Yep.
And then we hear, you know, how maybe defense kind of dominated some of the early scrimmages in camp and everything. Well, now it's, you know, we're winning 9 and 10.
Wisconsin loses a wide receiver. All of a sudden, well, they've taken a step back.
Absolutely. Now. And now, you know, it's so.
So then Sean posts on his message board and says, will Nebraska win the West? Yes, are the options in his poll. Right. Yeah,
I think every summer, though, we all get carried away at times in this market.
Well, I don't.
Not you, you're not me. Okay. But there's so much media, there's so much that's written, there's so much airtime on radio stations that I think we all can get ahead of ourselves.
Hypothetical situations. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're in June and there's nothing going on.
I mean, look, we all know Sean's the reason why the program is 0-5 this year. But before we close this, Jason, let me ask this question from John, who says, and I don't know if you want to agree with the guy he mentioned. He said, I agree with Matt Davison. I don't know if you want to agree with Matt Davison about anything.
Well, yeah, I don't.
But he says, what? I agree with Matt Davison, who says teams with a rep for being penalty prone lose the benefit of the doubt on 50-50 calls with refs. You agree with that? At the risk of agreeing with Matt Davison?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that you lose out on 50-50 calls is because you've put yourself in a situation where it's 50-50, and that's usually just bad technique or being lazy or the other guy just being a better football player than you. They're being put in these, you know, these plays where, you know, the tight end is hooking our defensive end or you know, our outside linebacker or their defensive end is you know, kind of getting better hand placement than our offensive tackle. So the only way that he feels like he's able to get some sort of outside leverage is by kind of holding this guy. And that's ultimately, you know, why you're
Martinez holds the ball a long time, too.
Yeah, but you have to, I mean, you know what you got right behind you. Everybody knows this isn't, nobody's playing with anybody for the first time. You know what's expected of you. At no point during the coaching periods has Scott said, it's okay for, you know, my offensive tackle to, when we're trying to run toss, to grab the, you know, the defensive end from the outside shoulder pad and yank him down. You know, and the frustrating thing is when you see some of these plays that are away from the actual play that had no impact for the most part on some of these plays. But it's been an absolute killer. And it's selfish, it's undisciplined, it's lazy, it's you know, it's all of the above, and it really needs to get cleaned up. Scott knows that. I'm sure, you know, he's told him a million times, but unfortunately we keep seeing it over and over again, and I think that's why Scott is at the point now where he's just gonna sit guys. I think, you know, it's not like, even though Sean, yeah, you know, led everyone to believe we were going to win the West.
Yep.
We're not going to win the West probably this year, Sean.
Yeah, thanks.
So I think Scott is looking at it. You know, and that's great. I think now is the time. I always thought this was a mistake that Bo and Mike Riley made when they first came, was not ruling with an iron fist. You know, let it be known how things are going to be run when you come in, because by year two, three, four, it's too late by then already. So do it now. And I'm all for it, you know, Scott. I mean, if he's got to bench, you know, the entire team, then bench him, you know, or the starters or whatever. I mean, chances are, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle the rest of the way anyway.
Jason Peter, former Black Shirt, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming on.
I'm always supporting.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are.
Always.
Well, up next, Sean will tell us why 2019 the Huskers will win every game as we take a look at the latest in Nebraska recruiting as we go to break. Images from Madison, courtesy of Hail Varsity. We're back soon.
Is this my mug?
Be sure to vote on this week's sideline survey question. Does this 2018 team become the first at Nebraska to start 0-6? 65% of you say no, 35% of you say yes. Make sure to visit the wrap-up website and cast your vote. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us tonight on Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Kevin Kugler. And again, Sean Callahan, ruiner of the program, is here to talk.
I'm still here.
Recruiting. He's still here. He's still optimistic. Let's talk a little recruiting, Sean. You've got a couple of road games, so kind of a quiet time for Nebraska recruiting-wise.
Yeah, this is a stretch where Nebraska's been on the road, Kevin, 3 out of 4 weekends. Now, Ryan Hell did get out to a junior college game this past week. I think that's where Nebraska's keeping their eyes on right now. There's a few JUCO guys that really want to move on. I look for the Michigan State game, and now that we know the Minnesota game is a 2:30 game, those two games are going to be where you might see the junior college guys and other guys come in onto campus for Nebraska.
Well, this is going to be a big push over these next couple of weeks after this Northwestern week, but we're going to focus tonight on guys in the state of Nebraska. And let's start with one of the guys who's committed to this 2019 class from a really good group of Nebraska recruits. Ethan Piper joining us from Norfolk, where the Norfolk Catholic High School star is joining us on Big Red Wrap-Up. Ethan, it's such a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us.
Yeah, really great to be on. Love watching you guys' show, so it's kind of a treat to be on. So,
well, it's a treat for us to have you on. I got to imagine that the offer, well, you tell me, when you got the offer to be a Nebraska Cornhusker, walk us through how you felt, what that day was like.
Well, it kind of started really simple. I just got done with a lifting training workout for track, and I was just walking over in our school hallways and got a text from Eric Shenander on Twitter that said I need to call him. So I called him up, and he put me on with Coach Frost and told me I got the offer, and I was ecstatic. Watching UCF and watching what Coach Frost did with those guys, I just wanted to be a part of everything. And it just really was a dream come true.
Ethan, you've got a lot of versatility. You can play either side of the ball. Do you have a read right now what side Nebraska really wants you on, whether it's offensive line or defensive line?
I think they're kind of leaning more towards defense. I know Coach Frost really, during the summer, was really learning, leaning towards that offensive line, offensive guard. But I really think they, with my speed and size, I think they're really looking at me for like a deep tackle and play the inside. So, especially with not us having as many recruits on the defensive side of the line. So,
Ethan, what's it mean for you, a kid growing up in this state, to put on that Nebraska helmet when you get down here?
It's going to mean everything. Growing up, I've gone to at least one or two Nebraska games ever since I was in second grade. And just all the hard work that I put in and just from my peers and supporting me, it means a lot. And I'm going to wear that helmet with a lot of pride and just try to represent Nebraska kids the best I can.
Ethan, there's a group of five of you guys committed from Nebraska. Three of you are from outside the Omaha metro area, York, Scotts Bluff, and Norfolk. How close are you guys as a group, and how much do you guys interact?
Yeah, we interact quite a bit. We actually have a Snapchat that all of us go on a couple, try to communicate with each other. And I know every time we meet for any game or anything, like going up to Nebraska game, it's just really fun, and they're just a great group of guys we have got here from Nebraska, and I couldn't ask for anybody better.
A few weeks left for Norfolk Catholic. What do you need to do in your final few games as a high school football player to improve before you get to Lincoln?
Just take everything in, probably the most important thing. It's going to be a lot different pace from going from high school to college, and I think I just need to work on my mentality, just give it 100% every single play, and always go hard to the whistle, and just be don't take anything for granted.
Ethan Piper, Norfolk Catholic High School. Ethan, really a pleasure to have you with us tonight on Big Red Wrap-Up. Congratulations on the commitment several weeks ago. Congratulations on the opportunity to come to Nebraska. We look forward to seeing you down here soon.
All right. Thank you.
Well, and you can see why Scott Frost likes him, not only from his size and his versatility, but just the character of the young man.
Yeah, he's involved in school musicals and other things outside of football, so he's a well-rounded type of guy you're bringing in this program.
Well, let's take the journey from Norfolk to Kearney and talk another in-state recruit. This is at the running back position with Miko Messner.
Yeah, Miko Messner is a guy that could play running back. He could play safety. He's already got an Iowa State offer early on, and we got to see him here in the state championship game last year for Kearney High. He bursted on the scene as a sophomore, new to the varsity, and had over 1,000 yards on their team, was a real difference maker. But it's the speed, Kevin, that jumps out. Particularly, there was a play where he ran down Milton Sarball from behind, and Matt Davison, who was not that far away from working for Scott Frost, was just raving about that play, the speed that he showed to run down a guy like Sarball from behind. I think the question is, you know, where does he translate at a place like Nebraska if they come in? He's definitely a guy that wants to be at Nebraska. He grew up a Husker fan. His mom has shared videos of him running out of the tunnel at camp when he was a sixth, seventh grade boy. His dad played professional soccer for the D.C. United. Bruce Arenas was his coach. His father used to be the UNK women's soccer coach as well. So he's got a pretty unique athletic background within his family. He's got a sister, Daisy, that runs track now at Hastings College as well.
Well, certainly somebody to keep an eye on over the next year or so as the 2020 class starts to get talked more about.
Yeah, he'll be one of the top five guys in that group for sure.
All right, Sean, thanks so much. The Huskers are hoping another good week of practice will provide a spark for this weekend's upcoming game. Here's our Big Red Report.
Honestly, like I see what we're going to be and I know what we're going to be, but my main focus is now. I mean, I'm not really a guy that's going to be like, oh, we'll get it next week or we're going to get it tomorrow. Like, I want it now. Like, I want it now, and that's my main focus is right here, right now.
Oh, I don't have concerns for our team going forward. I have concerns that we have a long ways to go football-wise. We have a long ways to go strength and conditioning-wise. If we're going to catch up and be able to beat teams like Wisconsin and Michigan and teams like that, they're going to be physical and run the ball. We've got a long ways to go in all those aspects.
Well, Every game, every practice, I feel like we're getting better and better. Like I said, it's small details that I feel like we need to fix, and I feel like it's going to happen. I mean, you can feel it in practice, you can feel it in the game. Every game, you see something that's improved. So.
Something's changed. It really changed after the Purdue game. Changed even more last week. The thing that made them understand the most was losing, you know, really three games because of self-inflicted things. And the whole attitude of everybody around here, I feel like we finally turned the corner.
Well, and as Coach Frost said, it feels like they've turned a corner. Now let's see, Jay Moore, if they're able to put that into practice on the field this weekend against Northwestern.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's some good things. You can even go back to the Purdue game, and there was a lot of good things done offensively. Defensively, just too many self-inflicted mistakes, not getting off the field on third down. But there comes a time as a player, and all these kids are so competitive, you just get tired of shooting yourself in the foot, losing. It's almost like a come to Jesus type of moment where, like, okay, I looked at myself personally. What do I got to do? Because I'm tired of feeling like this after every game. And hopefully that's finally kicked in with these guys. And hopefully they understand what it takes. And he said, Alex Davis said, the little things. Hopefully they understand how important those little things are. And they can start seeing these results. And they can get off to a good start against Northwestern on Saturday.
Well, for Northwestern, they do a couple of things that Nebraska doesn't do. One, they're very established in their program, so the discipline is a little different, and their penalty yardage is much less significant than Nebraska's. In fact, they're very good at keeping penalties down, which they kind of have to, though, Sean, because this run game, since Jeremy Larkin had to retire for medical reasons after game three of this season, this run game has been almost non-existent for Northwestern, which is really rare for Pat Fitzgerald's squads that usually pride themselves on being able to run the football.
And it's hard what to make of that, because Michigan and Michigan State are two of the better rushing defenses in the country. I don't know if a lot of, I mean, we saw what Nebraska did against Michigan trying to run the ball.
Yeah.
They looked a lot like Northwestern. Michigan State, Nebraska hasn't played yet, so it's hard to say, but
Michigan State has the number one rush defense in the nation right now, but their pass defense is so bad because I think a lot of teams are throwing on Michigan State.
We have to think that Northwestern is still going to try to come at Nebraska with a lot of runs. I don't think Pat Fitzgerald's going to say, you know what, we haven't run it well the last 2 weeks, so we're not going to try. And I think it's going to be important early for Nebraska to establish that. But on the other side of the ball, it's Northwestern's defense. They've given Nebraska problems every year. Nebraska never really gets into a rhythm on their offense against Northwestern's defense.
They always got a few D linemen that you don't really hear about, and all of a sudden they show up against Nebraska like, whoa, that guy's pretty damn good. I think a couple years ago when they came here, they had
the guy that played for the Packers.
What's his name? I can't remember. Yeah, it was more like 94, just a few years ago.
Dean Lowry.
When Riley's first year, like, holy smokes, who is this guy? They have those type of guys you don't hear about. All of a sudden, they come in and establish the line of scrimmage against us. So I'm sure that they'll be hopefully it's not the same situation. Hopefully Nebraska can get the run game established against those boys.
One strange little note about this Northwestern team, they're 0-3 at home this year. Their home fans have experienced the same amount of wins as Nebraska fans have experienced all year long, Sean. It's kind of weird to see a team this deep in the season, especially with those early home games designed to get wins, 0-3.
And it's really not much of a home stadium either for them. I mean, they don't have a big base of fans in Chicago, so they'll be more red in that stadium, even for an 11 a.m. game, I think, than we'll see purple.
Well, it certainly should be an interesting matchup for this Nebraska team. They'll go against Northwestern. I think it's going to be a tight game, and we'll see if that pans out that way. But don't forget to head to our website and click on the prediction. Jay, Sean, and I are going to tell you exactly what to expect on Saturday. The Huskers' road trip continues. They're going to take on Northwestern in Evanston and an early kickoff on Saturday, 11 a.m., and the game is on ABC. We're back next Tuesday to recap that game. Our guest co-host Stephen M. Sipple and Blake Lawrence is going to stop by next week. Random appearance from Blake Lawrence, who we thought was dead. Our thanks to Jason Peter, Ethan Piper, Hannah, and the boys in the wrap-up call center. For Jay Moore and Sean Callahan, I'm Kevin Kugler. We'll see you next week on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Goodbye.